Pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hello. Alright, this is, we'll start out with any public comments.
At this time, we'll take, Becky with her, water billing. So just to give the council brief history and rundown, there is a bill history, reports printed out, running through bill payments. And what we've had is we've tried a few times here to, contact for payments. I believe, just trying to find the letter, back in...
Are we going to want to be taking some type of action on this at this point in time? Or...
Yeah, I would have to say so.
Then we should maybe wait till after we do the consent agenda.
Okay, we can add it to consent and then take it right after we approve the consent.
Yeah, add it to the agenda.
Okay, let's do that. So we can take action. Alright. So, let's go to agenda review. So then basically there, for additions, we'd have, add, Becky Malika? Malika? Okay. To the agenda, and we will take her before bullet number 5. The other information just want to include with the packet is the bill history for 625 Kim Avenue, and then updated claims list.
Second. Any second for that?
Clear.
Motion made and seconded, opposed, passed, okay, on, consent agenda.
I will do the consent agenda.
Okay, second.
Clear.
No, motion made and seconded, is there, all in favor? Alright, passed. Okay, now, we can go back.
Alright, so just to continue the discussion, it's for Becky Malika and Michael Howell for 625 Kim Avenue. I think right now they have an outstanding bill of $838.86. The billing's constantly been late. We've put in the packet to show the numerous letters we've sent trying to collect or try to work with them with a payment plan. and I believe, was it a week ago, 10 days ago?
The 16th, so yeah.
We gave them till the 15th, I think, and then we turned them off. And then we did, they came in and paid $75, so we agreed to a payment plan. I believe you should have that in your packet there. And that was agreed upon by Mr. Howell. And we did make it clear to him that, you know, we need for them to stick to the payment plan. And if he can't stick to the payment plan, then we'd be forced to be back to square one to turning the water off. I mean, this is one thing I hate doing. I don't like doing it, but it's just kind of a way for us to try to gain the attention of people that they need to pay their bills. We have, you know, unfortunately we have bills to pay too, but, so hence the reason why we're here at the council meeting tonight is basically to bring it forth to discussion. And so, Becky can, plead her case also. It says you're...
And I wasn't in that meeting, but it says clearly on here, it's six.
It would be disconnected.
It would be a payment by that time.
Must be made by...
Must be received, must be made by September 26th.
Yep. Supposed to be...
Prior to...
Yeah. And or in the mailbox out front when I come in and collect everything payments for that day.
Okay,
I apologize. Okay, because we made it clear that we let him lay out the payment, so.
Unfortunately, sometimes you can't go back in life on some of this stuff, you know. But,
what's the schedule that you are going to propose?
It would be $300 a month. We did the $75 payment just last week. We could do $100 tomorrow, $125, $100 today we could do, $125 on the 29th of September. Then I realized we'll have another bill to come, that's for October. So we could do that $300 on October 21st. And then my November bill comes on, and I'm averaging $145 for those bills. And then $325 on November 18th we could pay. And then I know December bills will so will be applied on the 2nd. And then by 12/23, $323.86 is what I have that would be outstanding at that time. But that's only, that's taking into consideration that we had 813.86 as the current bill. So I guess if we're going off to 838, it would be a little bit more. I'm not able to see that. I wasn't looking into the $100 reconnection.
Unfortunately, we can't control your toilet.
No, I completely understand. I'm just trying to understand kind of why we do all that.
Yeah. kind of the pattern we have right here, estimating that we're going to use probably 140 for the rest of the year.
I put 145 as the average value.
And that would be a total. Adding all those up, if it was 145 every time, then is that going to be equal to what's written on that piece of paper? Or is that, or you calculated it without the real reason, right?
I did. I started at 813.86.
Which was the bill that I received. Yeah, that's right. Do you have that written down? The payment schedule?
Unfortunately, the schedule and stuff is all nice and all written down and everything, but do you think you're going to be able to keep that though?
Yeah.
Winter time, I mean, Christmas is coming, Thanksgiving in between there, $300 a month, quite a chunk.
Our average family
folks
spend about that when we have, I realize that we haven't made consistent payments, but they've been in,
I don't want you to make it so high you can't do it. If anything,
I'm trying not to, which is why I was opposed to Mike cutting out the $600 that
But in turn, if something would ever happen that you couldn't, I mean, just drive up and talk to you one of these, and you're better off talking to them instead of something like this that it looked like we're backlogged here for quite a while. I mean, you're better off talking to Jeremy about it and get it over with, you know.
Yeah, that, you know, that's kind of why we send the letters out and put in there to, you know, come up if you can't make it, to make payment plans. But then when the communication has been made, you know, the day after or the day of, you know, it puts us in a tough situation. And the thing is my concerns from city standpoint is when certain bills start getting up to, you know, $800,000, $900,000, it's a lot of money. And not saying you're gonna do it, but we've gotten stuck with some of these bills. So we have to make sure we collect these bills because the city also, you know, it's not cheap to run that treatment plant. So we have bills to pay, and hence the reason why we need to collect payments in order for us to make our bills too. So I just wish, you know, if I could ask you to have better communication, you know, when them letters are sent out, that don't ignore them. We're here to help. We're not, you know, we're not
the villain.
We're not evil.
No, we're not.
I mean, we really want to work with people, yeah, to get things, get arrangements and get people caught up.
Well, what are we going to do here?
Okay. Let's make sure. I
realize we don't all want to speak at the same time.
Yeah,
it's getting any hard feelings or anything, but everything comes down to money, and that's what makes the world go round. So we're going to have to get this straightened out and hopefully stick by, if we do a payment plan thing, that we do stick by it. And we don't want, next time we want you up here, we want you to come up and have a sandwich or something, that we're having an outing. We don't want you back up here for this. Yeah, steak fry, there you go.
Well, as long as I've been on the council, whenever anybody is asked to have a late fee waived, we've denied it every time because we didn't want to set a precedent. So I think that pretty much answers that question. As for the reconnection fee, I guess I've never experienced anything in the 4 years that I've been here, and I would look to Jeremy and say, you know, has this ever happened before, and what have we done in the past?
I think you got to stick with the same concept across the board. I mean, I hate to do it, but once you do that, then you're going to have everybody up here.
Right.
You know, asking for that. And, you know, and hence the reason why we have a $100 connect fee. Because, like, if the council does make that decision, you know, tonight to agree to the payment plan and turn their water on, Greg's got to come out after hours and do that. Hence the reason why we have that, because then Greg will get paid minimum 2 hours to do that. So the reason why we have that fee is to recover those costs. Whereas, you know, really the city shouldn't have to be incurring that cost if, you know, payments are made. So hence that's why we have the reconnect fee, to cover the cost for Greg to come out after hours.
Did the city ever waive that reconnect fee in the past?
I don't know that we have.
No, whatever goes through the meter is what we charge. We're pretty strict on that. It takes. Otherwise, you, like Jeremy said, you got a lot of people up here who say, well, it's my turn, you know.
Well, that's like what we did here a couple of months ago. That gentleman came up, and we worked out a payment plan, and we didn't. I don't think it was the point of being disconnected, but we did not waive the late fees. And I think the council pretty much all agreed that that's, you know, we should stick with the policy that's been in effect.
What we did do for him is that we, if he stuck to the payment plan, we wouldn't charge him any additional late fees.
Yeah, going forward through
so
the payment plan.
That would be my suggestion. Yeah.
Well, then I would think that that would be fair to do in this case. You know, if they stick with the payment plan, they don't incur any late fees. However, if they stray from that plan, then those late fees would be assessed.
They already have. The payment for 923 was not recorded yet. She's proposing a new one here. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
838 is what it is.
So there'll be a payment tonight and a payment Friday?
Yeah.
Thursday. So 927, 929, 10-2, 10-21, 11-2, 11-18, 12-2, 12-23. What's that? 11-2-1. Okay, yep, sorry, Spin. Basically two payments and then, one payment a month of roughly $300 in October, November, December.
Roger, if you're confident that I would, at least, you know, we can get them rolling in the direction. Hopefully they don't have another running toilet to get behind again. But just, I would say, just for the fact that if we do this plan and then we do this payment, then it'll get shut off again, and then there'll be a hundred for the whole game. And I'll be taking place at that point. That makes sense. I would move to approve that plan as proposed.
Now, this plan is, there is occurring charges on that, right?
Yeah.
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 And the water would be turned on. Right? Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded that the payment plan be made as stated, and water would be turned back on. But if this is not met,
we're back to square one. Turn the water
back to square. Yeah, we're back to square one.
Actually, what I'd like to do is for us tomorrow to type it up into our format.
Okay.
Send it. We'll email it to you. Okay. And then if we can get that back signed.
Okay.
And then we'll sign it. And then we each have a copy of it so we know exactly where we're at and what the payment plan is.
I can just sign it when I come in to drop off the payment.
Sure. Perfect. Okay. That'll work.
Then a motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Passed. Okay.
Do I do the payment right now, or how do you want me to do that?
So, thank you for coming up.
Thank you.
And don't feel bashful. Come up and visit.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Mr. Watts?
Yeah.
We'll take you next.
All right.
I apologize. If I'd have known it was that easy to pull the information on the website, I would have got that to you a little earlier, but.
Where is it? Must have been my fault. It's not making that clear. We were able to, yeah, even though it was sort of a short notice, I had my colleagues for some analysis, so
okay.
We should be able to do that for the purposes of this meeting. I have a proposal that I'll sort of drop off and then also send a digital copy right after.
Okay. Okay. Perfect.
So, for those who haven't met me, my name is Dave Watts. I'm a project developer for a company called UF Solar. U.S. Solar is a solar developer and owner-operator. It's based out of Minneapolis, so I drove down here from Minneapolis today to chat with folks about a solar garden that we have under development in the city of Winston. This solar garden has received its approval for interconnection to Xcel Energy. It's also received approval for a permit to actually get this thing built. So now the last thing left is to get it subscribed. So Community Solar Gardens, the program that I'm working with, it, is a program that essentially allows for a project that's built in one place to provide benefits to energy customers that are located somewhere else. So we built this project in the city of Houston. We U.S. Solar handle all of the, you know, the design, the development, the finance, permitting, maintenance, everything like that. And then we in turn can provide bill credits to subscribers. So you can kind of think of us as just a supplier of bill credits, at least in scope of this conversation. So essentially, once this thing gets turned on, Xcel Energy will say, okay, we get, you know, call it a million bill credits, where should they go? We say, give some to the city of Minneapolis, give some to Orono, K-12 school district, give some to the city of Chanhassen, etc. Those are some of our subscribers right now. We also are the official solar partner of the Minnesota Twins, so they're a subscriber of ours as well. And we have an agreement in place with them to provide them bill credits at a rate which is flat, does not escalate, whereas if you take a look at the Xcel rates, obviously they do escalate. They've been escalating at about 3% over the last 30 years, a little bit faster in the last 10 years, so sort of increasing at an increasing rate. And so really what the value of this proposition is we can take what you would receive today for a bill credit from Xcel Energy and lock in that rate for the next 25 years. Mm-hmm. So every time that Xcel increases their rates, their, you know, the applicable retail rate that is assigned to cities and to everyone else, every time that increases, which almost certainly it will, every time that happens, you'll receive more savings. And your prices for energy will also be locked in. So, which is more valuable, I'll leave that to you to decide whether it's the actual net savings or if it's just the ability to budget knowing that you have this long-term price certainty. So I guess I'm here today to sort of give this introduction and to answer questions, as it is a newer program. There's really a lot of questions, just related to the program in general, the process, how it works, maybe about U.S. Solar ourselves, etc. So please feel free to sort of shout out any questions if anything has come up so far.
So what kind of time period is, or what kind of commitment do you need from the city?
So in terms of what we're looking for after today's conversation, all that we are looking for is engaged interest. If there is interest, then we say, awesome, let's, you know, move forward with the conversation. The best, you know, the most logical step following this would be to provide an actual contract, which is, you know, relatively written in plain English. It's still a legal contract, so there's a little bit of jargon in there, but essentially we would just have you review that.
and take a look at, you know, make sure that your all of the terms seem agreeable. This is the same contract that we subscribe, that we've used to subscribe the entities that I've listed already, as well as about, you know, maybe 8 to 10 cities and school districts through the Metropolitan Council. We won an award through them for those cities and school districts. Same contract there, so we're happy to provide that really soon here and answer any questions that come up from there. In terms of dollars, that's obviously the biggest question. You know, what should we expect to save? The proposal that I gave Jeremy beforehand didn't take into account the most recent consumption that he's just provided me with earlier today. Assuming that that consumption is correct, we probably want to confirm that is the annual consumption for all the meters that you have within the city. Assuming that's correct, the city would expect to save $30,000 approximately, $30,182 over 25 years. The way that's calculated is using historic averages, Excel rates, how they've increased. We actually just used a 2.5% escalator for that, so being a little bit conservative there. And just the rate itself that U.S. Solar is offering to the city of Hamburg, which would be 11.74 cents, and it would never increase. So those are essentially the factors that went into that calculation. Nothing really subjective there. The 11.74 cents is actually cheaper than I had provided previously in the proposal to you, Jeremy. Our company has decided that for customers that 45 to 60 days, we're willing to lower that price to sort of accelerate it. It is a first-come, first-served proposition, so you know, whoever fills up the garden first will be the first to get subscribed.
To be basically looking at a 25-year commitment from the city, correct?
That's right, yeah. And, I mean, as long as utility rates increase or stay above what they are today, you'd be saving. So typically we don't have too much kickback on going from the term because it's really just a longer term that you have price certainty and can expect savings. In the event that you wanted to reallocate your subscription, you know, you want a new building, you want something to go there or whatever, that's totally fine. The subscription itself is portable, it's also transferable, so if for, you know, whatever unpredictable reason you wanted to say that you were no longer going to participate, you know, the city was moved or Excel changed its service territory or whatever the scenario, you can transfer it to any eligible energy customer in Excel Energy's service territory, and we would facilitate that transfer. We do definitely think that these will be valuable. We think they're valuable now, but we think they'll become even more valuable over time because the supply of these solar gardens, you know, there's only so many projects that will be built. So therefore, there will only be so much subscription capacity.
So there's not going to be a garden built on your behind or whatever. We're going to basically hit back on the one that's in Winstead.
That's right, yeah.
And so then the city... does the city have any financial obligation that we're going to have to, you know, come up with $10,000 or whatever?
No, so there's no upfront cost whatsoever. It's a pay-as-you-go sort of format. So once the garden is actually producing energy and once it's turned on, whatever your subscription size, which what we've calculated is 33,600 kilowatt hours, or 120% of what your annual consumption is, that's what the program limit is 120%. So that subscription would, that's how much, that you'd be subscribing for that Winstead garden. However, you wouldn't have to pay any sort of upfront fee to receive that. Now, it would look on your bill as though, so you're paying this rate to U.S. Solar at 11.74 cents per kilowatt hour. Then once, you know, that rate is sort of exceeded by the bill credit value that you're receiving from Xcel Energy. That's how you save money. Is so maybe in, you know, in this case provides an example of if you're paying 11.74 cents today, you know,
even just next year, the XL bill credit rate is expected to be 11.98 cents. So you're saving that margin, and that increases each year.
And how much is XL Energy charging per kilowatt hour now?
It's probable that you have both general service and small general service meters. That part we didn't dive too deep into. Maybe the next step for us would be to get some sort of login to go into your Excel account and make sure we got all the right numbers. For simplicity's sake, let's talk about just general service. That's the one that has right now a bill credit rate of 11.74 cents. The bill credit rate just means the applicable retail rate plus the solar energy has a 2 cent bump. So applicable retail rate plus 2 cents. Right now that's 11.74 cents as in 2016. So we matched the 2016 price, and then it's expected to increase, at least 2.5% per year. So it continues to be that while your price just stays at 11.74 for the rest of the term.
Is there any administrative costs or responsibilities or anything that you're very involved with?
No.
Does your company do all that?
So we try to make it sort of a minimum headache, maximum value type operating. As far as administrative cost, really the only one that we see is that, the time and consideration used to look at the revenue contract and to have it reviewed or signed it or, that kind of thing. But down the line, it doesn't require any sort of administrative hassle, or it doesn't require any sort of labor or investment or anything like that.
So basically, we get a 25-year contract, we save about $30,000, and it's not going to cost us anything essentially to do that.
At the end of the day, we're talking free money. It's a program that, it has a lot of people that benefit in this business model and this program. US Solar benefits the developer. We're developing projects, and as long as we make more money on the subscriptions that we spent to invest in the project, then we win. The subscribers win. They're getting discounted electricity at a locked-in rate. The landowners win, who, we lease land from landowners. In this example, in Winstead, pay well above agricultural rates. So there's a lot of people who are sort of benefiting from this program, in addition to any sort of environmental, impact, however you want to put a number on that.
Once the council, should they decide to go along with this and sign the contract, how long before we realize that we're, in the program fully?
Yeah, so the actual, you'll first receive credits and have a rate to pay, at the same time. You'll first see that happen once the project's actually turned on. In this case, the Winston project has received both the approvals that it requires, so we're not looking at anyone else to give a thumbs up to the project. It's a go. So at this point, we're going to wait for the snow melt, start construction early next season, and the garden should be turned on and producing by May or June. The construction itself takes about 30 days.
So this thing isn't even built yet?
No, it's not built. It has its two approvals, and essentially it's de-risked now. So projects are risky when they either don't have the interconnection approval of XL or they don't have the permit. In this case, this project has both. So we have spent, a lot of money getting it to this point. So you can bet that we're going to be interested in
And that project that they're doing out there on 5 west of Crystal Laconia, there's a lot of people there that are upset because of the way that it looks and it's impacting their homes and whatnot. Obviously, we don't have that problem here because it's not going to be in anybody's backyard.
That's true. Yeah, I can't speak for that project specifically, but there are definitely neighbors that in some places more than others that, don't want to see it in their backyard.
Right.
That's natural and expected. In this case, it's not a problem.
That's fortunate for us because, we can't be criticized for doing it because it's not going to change the landscape or the image of the town.
Yeah, there's definitely no conflict of interest there.
So, if I understand the program right, you're taking all the usage that we have in town, residential and government and business, right?
No, we're taking specifically the city's facilities, like the fire department and city hall.
We use that much energy?
It's actually a very small amount of energy in comparison to, I don't think I've spoken to a city that has a smaller consumption.
Well, thanks.
Let's keep it that way, though. Unless we're in business.
Yeah. There are plenty of cities we looked at and said, nope, too small. So it's not like you're the small city on the base of the Earth, obviously, but I'm saying relatively to the ones that I've personally worked on. It's definitely not, you know, it's, we're not talking millions of dollars here, but I think $30,000 is very significant for something that requires a lot of progress.
Do streetlights enter into this in any way, shape, or form?
The streetlights are likely not, because the streetlights are not on a meter. Typically, streetlights are just, okay, pay us this amount, and we'll give you streetlights. And so it's not tracked, and right. So we can't subtract it. But there's are several facilities that we're on that.
And so you can get all the information you need just by accessing our bills for each facility.
Yeah.
Can we excel everything?
Yeah, if we get out and just log in and permission, then you can get all that information. We can break classes and all that kind of thing. So no matter what class it is, if it's a general service facility or a small general service facility, the net value per kilowatt hour will be the same. We just match it up.
Who determines the bill credit?
So the bill credit is something that is actually, it's a mathematical equation that is just, you know, each year in front of the Public Utilities Commission, they sort of put in their inputs of the previous year and calculate what the new bill credit would be. You know, natural gas and coal too have been kind of plummeting, the prices have been plummeting, and some of them are at all-time lows. So a lot of people are saying, well, isn't the energy, isn't the cost for a bill credit or the applicable resource rate by itself, isn't that going to be plummeting? But we've actually seen it increasing faster than it has in the past. The reason is, even though some forms of energy might be at all-time lows, the overall aging infrastructure of the, you know, the electrical grid is old and it's very expensive, and to totally replace it, which is something that will happen in the future, is going to be even more expensive. So, you know, kind of independent of how we've seen some energy prices dropping, the bill credit just seems to be going up.
So when do you have to know when?
So I think if there's plenty of interest, I think that by the end of this week, I can send over our contract to have, you know, whoever needs to look through it, and please provide any questions or hesitations or anything like that. We're happy to work with you, helping understand or that kind of thing. We can get you that by the end of the week. In terms of what you would need to come back with an answer, it's, as I mentioned, it's first come, first serve, so I, you know, that answer is just dependent on all the other subscribers that we're talking to.
Gut feeling, we meet again October 11th.
Yeah, you'd be fine. If you have a decision by then, you'd be fine. If you have a decision, pretty much I can not guarantee, but we're pretty certain that if you have a decision in the next 45 days, you'd be totally fine. Mm-hmm.
So you're not waiting until all your subscriptions to be sold before you start paying the next script?
We are required to, but we do anticipate that we'll have all our subscriptions for them.
And then that formulation you're talking about for the bill credit,
yeah,
is that something that's publicized someplace that we can take a look at?
Yeah. So the Public Utilities Commission, you want to take a look at their website or other information. I'm not sure if they spit out the exact mathematical formula that goes into it, but you can track monthly rates that we're doing in the past. I know that for 30 years, the 30-year average was 2.75% growth in the applicable retail rate, which is the same as the bill credit rate plus 2 cents.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure the reason why we're seeing a jump more than the average historical rate recently is due to the demand to go into renewable fuels and the cost of setting up the solar gardens and these wind farms and things of that nature, the infrastructure that goes along with that. Once that infrastructure is all put in place, we backsell our property lines of that. I would just anticipate that those costs would go down because we no longer would be using fossil fuels and would be more on renewable energy. And with that infrastructure in place, I'm assuming that replacement costs are going to be nearly as much as the additional costs for the winter. Well, I guess a couple of things I'd say to that is, actually, in terms of new generations, if we got a new electrical generating facility, solar, I believe, is the cheapest. So while we get, you know, a new solar facility, as in making that investment to put one on the ground, can't compete with an existing nuclear plant, obviously. But in terms of new generation, I think solar is the cheapest one. So I don't know if that directly would be responsible for increases. In terms of the new infrastructure, one of the benefits for Xcel, actually maybe the only benefit for Xcel, besides the fact that they're legally mandated to do this program, as you mentioned, is that developers have to pay infrastructure upgrades that are required. So if we put a project that's a mile away from high-capacity power lines, if we want to put it there, we have to pay the cost for Xcel to run high-capacity power lines to that project. So we are upgrading and updating their system at our cost. However, I do think that, you know, generally what you're saying is right, that the idea is that far in the future, when we have totally ditched old forms of energy, the non-renewable energies, likely it'll be cheaper to maintain. But I think we're pretty far away from that, much more than 25 years, especially because we do have to build the new infrastructure to support all the renewable energy.
So tonight, are you looking for a commitment from the city to have you go ahead, or is this just to be informational?
This is mostly informational. All I was looking for tonight is either yet we're interested or no, we're not interested. And it seems like maybe if the answer is yes, we're interested, and then I would just go back to my computer and send over the contract so you can review it.
Okay. I think the city is interested, so if you could just get a hold of Jeremy on that and then just go from there, and we can let you know.
Yeah, and then I'll provide you the login, okay, so you can have a more in-depth look at the account.
Yep. And then the next meeting is a month from now, right?
Correct. Well, actually, yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, used to that, but this is our second meeting. But, yeah, October 11th.
Okay.
All right. Is there anything more for David?
Be good.
Thanks for letting me chat. It's a pleasure always coming up here and doing these meetings. We really value being able to do that.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Justin?
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Yeah.
So just starting off where we left off last meeting regarding the Timberline Wood Products. Jeremy Gay group in the council packet, the cost estimates that we did in the last meeting, and that would be to extend sewer and water to the eastern edge of the Timberline property. One estimate was for just a 1-inch water service, and then 8-inch sanitary sewer service, that was about $32,000. The other estimate was for a larger water main line, an 8-inch water main line, and that was about $47,000. So those were the two estimates that we presented. We also had some discussion last time about access and stormwater management. So Jeremy did send an email off to Carver County. As far as the access goes, the response, I'm paraphrasing here, but the response from Carver County is that because of the proximity to the city and city limits, they would look to the city to make decisions on access.
Yeah.
And the other thing we talked about was the stormwater management. And again, the response from Carver County, from their water management group, was if it does exceed 1 acre of new developed property, then it would fall into a water management category. We'd have to look at stormwater treatment like we discussed last time as part of the water management process.
Is that you, 1 acre of land or 1 acre of tar or cement?
1 acre of hard surface.
Hard surface.
Yep.
So if it's gravel, is that impervious?
It is. Yep. Gravel is considered impervious.
Okay.
So if it's below that threshold, what Carver County indicated is it probably would be below the requirements for that, but they did say they'd want to see a site plan to take a look at that. What are the setbacks that I would be doing? I don't have them memorized off the top of my head. I'd have to
look at business, but I think business is more in residential. Residential is 30 feet, but also we'll have to check with what setback the county is going to want off County Road 50. So that's another thing. I'll have to check with the county to see if they're, if the county has any setbacks for County Road.
What they said is, I mean, it's not going to be county anymore, it's going to be Broadway, so it's a...
Okay, so then it'll be our issue once it's annexed. But also still, I want to check with them too, because we don't own that road. You know, it's a county road. They still need to be involved in that. But if they're going to give us the full jurisdiction, then we go by our zoning requirements.
That was my understanding based on the emails that they sent back to us, is that it would be there within the city's jurisdiction, with the exception of the federal land.
That's
what I'm curious on what setbacks are. Maybe I can make the
scale facts. Sure, and I'll get that to you, Brian. I'll pull it out of the zoning book and I'll get that to you tomorrow.
I think the road is 60 feet there wide, and then it would be another 30 feet setback for the, on the front. That's for any size. I think it's less than that, I believe. But Jeremy can get to that tomorrow if that'd be okay. From there, get something drawn up or something.
So then, is the city fine with culvert then? As opposed to curb and gutter?
Do you want me to respond to that?
Yeah, give some insight.
Sure. You know, I think...
Pros and cons.
Right. You know, if you're looking at, you know, a single access point, like what Brian's initial plans showed, you know, a culvert would maintain the existing drainage, especially if we're not looking at more than that 1 acre of pervious surface. I mean, if we're looking at a lot of hard surface where we're generating a lot of runoff, I think we have some concerns about how that ditch is going to react to the water.
The water is going to be directed towards the person on the back of the property still there.
So, I mean, if we had a plan that showed that, or you know, something that indicates that.
I'm the 5 grand for the plan right now.
Sure.
Until I find out.
So, I mean, I think that's part of it. If you have a lot of drainage coming towards the street, you want to be able to control that. You know, I've seen these types of developments happen in stages, where maybe the first stage is utilizing a culvert for a single driveway, and then as the community continues to grow and as there's more development, a more comprehensive improvement project is done where you include curb and gutter and those types of things. So, you know, one option is a step approach and taking a look at how the city might go in the future. So, you know, I think all of those would probably be required. We have to take a look at doing that.
And who would be responsible for that culvert?
The developer typically is responsible for those. So that's kind of the short term, just looking at Brian's development right now. You know, I think conceptually we've kind of covered some items, you know, as far as the access goes from our management, you know, how we would handle the county road. maybe that's a specific question we need to ask the county to do with the culvert. That's just my perspective. If we want to check with them on that. So that's a specific review process for the project. Going beyond that, I know there were some questions last time about what about the future? What about 25 years from now when the city is continuing to grow and expand? That's kind of a separate category.
So, Justin, before you jump into that, Brian, okay. Do you have anything else or concerns or questions?
What type of building do you put up? Can a full frame building be put up? Or does it have to be steel frame?
Then I'll check into that for you.
Is there an ordinance now that they get?
You know, unfortunately, I don't have the zoning ordinance memorized. I have to do some research, so that's why I'm asking some questions.
Yep.
So that way, you know, we can get them all answered and keep moving forward here. And then I don't know the building code either, so I don't know what.
But, so if I could get a site plan drawn up, I mean, is that up to the city engineer then to approve it? I mean, on the different elevations on my
yeah, well,
my pads, or
we would send it to the engineer for review of that.
So typically, we review it, provide comments, and make sure it meets the city code requirements.
How's that going to tie in with the future plans if one of my pads is higher or lower than what his future proposal is?
Well, hence the reason why we're talking about, that's why we're talking about the future, so we can tie that in. So if we can get your project going.
But I don't want to spend $5,000 on getting a site plan made if it isn't going to work with his future, the city's future plans.
Well, I agree. But we need to, from a city standpoint, we need to look at, you know, the future too, to see how we can make it all work. That's why we're having them, had them draft up this proposal so we can look at that.
Typically,
yeah, I know you're.
Typically, the city would own that property. The city would have the water and sewer over there. The city would have to, you know, deal with the treatment pond or the stormwater.
Right.
I come in and buy the property from the city. Now it's like, you know, I don't know.
Well, you're right in the fact that typically that's how it would be, but we had no plans for that, where there hasn't really been any interest. So we haven't really looked at it. So now if we had that development, yes, it would be easy for you to just come in and, you know, we'd sell you the lot and we'd be good to go because it would be all plotted out. But this is a totally different situation than what the council anticipated. So kind of really the city's kind of got put on the spot here to get something going. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no different than you wanted to go to any other place and they didn't have it developed. They'd have to go through the same type concept here, so.
I understand that. I'm just looking at, I think there's going to be a lot more cost by doing it this way to me.
How so?
I just got one estimate back from an excavator and doing a storm pond.
Well, the stormwater, maybe we're on the wrong page here, but the city would have to look at the stormwater.
Would it be on my property?
No.
Well, we would have to purchase property for a stormwater pond.
Wouldn't be on your property.
No. It's no different than what we, you know, did in the park there, where we had to purchase property and do a stormwater pond.
Yeah, I think we got to be cognizant of the size again.
Right.
I don't know how much you're planning to develop it. I mean, if it's, again, less than an acre, which, you know, depending on the condition submitted, over, what, a half acre each, I believe.
Well, I don't think you're going to have that much hard surface.
That's right. I'm hoping I can scale back to.
Mm-hmm. Plan or two, really, from what I scale off, the plan that you originally submitted was about a half acre.
Okay.
So I think we're talking about a couple of different things here. We're talking about developing a 30-acre industrial park. We're going to have some of these very large stormwater ponds.
Right.
Infrastructure costs.
Yeah.
If we're talking about Timberline's proposed project of building one building on maybe a half-acre lot, again, it's like what I said earlier, it's almost a stepped approach.
Yeah, and
that's what's currently in front of us.
And Justin, you can correct me and council can chime in anytime and, you know, tell me if you're on the same page as my thoughts, but kind of the thought process here is to get Brian going. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't want to lose a business. We want to get him going, but yet it's a, because like you said, we don't have that development. It's not readily available. We have to work on working with you to get it done. So my thing is we want to get you going, get you done. But yet, in that same time, keep you on track, but do it so we keep ourselves open for the future and start looking at possibly putting monies aside for purchasing that land and development when the, so when the interest is there, it's ready. So, I mean, I don't think we're trying to push you off and do this all as, you know, we're going to develop it all. I don't know that the city can, you know, really afford to do that at $25,000 an acre.
No.
you know, I don't think we have the monies to do that, but we do want to work with you to try to get something done. And then at the same time we're doing that, looking at plotting it out for the future, looking at, okay, Brian's going to be here. We're going to set Brian in here. We're going to position him like this. Now how can we, you know, bring a road in to kind of access everybody in the whole layout for future use? I mean, I, that's my thought process. I don't know if council needs to speak up. You're the decision makers here. I mean, that's, you know, that's what I'm shooting for. And I guess, I don't, you know, Justin, you're welcome to chime in also.
And I think Jeremy's right. I don't think we're trying to push you out or anything. We want to set a, which I'd say, a justice or, you know, what's going to happen there. And if there's a road going in there, if the city's got to, if we're going to make it wider, the city's probably going to end up paying half of that, you know. And we'll end up paying half of that. But I think we should get you going, get a building going or get something straightened out there. And Justin and you can kind of work together on that or, you know, get it worked out so that we can get going on this in spring, you know, and get this up, you know. And I don't think there's a problem with, we had this, that's why he did this for you, a 1-inch line and a regular sewer line going over there so that we can get you going. We don't need a, what was the other one, an 8-inch line? Yeah, we don't need that to get you going. Just hook it up, whack and sack, and go for it, you know.
But we still want to look at future.
Right.
You know, would it be more beneficial for us to have pay the cost now? Right.
And you might.
Like what my excavator said is from this corner to the back, it'd be the northwest corner, there's 13 feet of fall.
Okay.
And to get all the water flow properly, he needs basically that at the low side of the property to stay undisturbed to get the water flow properly.
Okay.
How is that gonna mess with, you know, the city's future plans or, you know, your design?
Sure. So I think what we gotta offer, Brian, is all of your water is in a sheet flow to one side of the property, right?
Correct.
So when someone in the future builds next door to you, you all of your runoff is in one side of the property.
Yep.
Where we may need to put in a storm water drain or culvert back there or something
right.
to.
Right. And if we compound that and take the next lot and all that sheet flows, also we got a pretty significant amount of water drain that direction and somebody's going to get flooded up. So what we would do, and this goes into the next part here, is take a look comprehensively. Maybe we don't need to do anything right now, Brian, with your property, but in the future, when the next parcel is sold, we want to be able to tell them, look, we need to put a stormwater line in here or some type of stormwater swale or maybe a small pond to protect both your interests and to continue to provide drainage for Brian's property. So that's kind of how that lays out. So I don't think we're going to be necessarily designing or redesigning your site, but we want to be able to plan around what is happening so that as future growth continues, we're not, I think someone said earlier, redigging something that we just did. You know, in this particular case, you know, installing the culvert instead of extending curb and gutter might be the best option because the city is not going to extend sewer and water any further than we need to. So in the future, when we do need to go to that next lot over, all we have to do is pull out the culvert, which is a lot less expensive than replacing two blocks of curb.
Right, and I
so,
think...
So, I mean, that's the kind of planning that we need to look at. I agree with what Jeremy and some of the council members are saying. We don't want to hold you up.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to look at this so we're not paying ourselves a court.
Right.
You know, and it's a little different. It's a unique situation because, like you said, normally that's developed.
Right.
So you're kind of coming in. You're kind of getting, you're setting the precedence here. You're getting the first pickings. So you get to kind of come in and then we have to work around you. Whereas before it'd just be all laid out and you'd have to decide on what lot you wanted. Where here you're kind of getting to pick out your layout. And I think the city's kind of working around you.
Right.
So, you know, it's a little, I don't want you to feel that we're trying to do too much, that we're not going to work with you, or that, you know, we can't get this done because we want to do this as a whole. I think it's, you know, like Justin said, piece it in. We need to be able to piece it in and lay it out for the future. You know, get this one in and then work around it.
So we're going to have to know what he exactly wants, what he
was going to do, so.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, with where we're at the process, I mean, it's really going to be kind of back and forth, that thing. We'll find out from you what you want to do, but we can review that.
I get those setbacks, I'm going to
Sure. Okay.
So when we find out what you can do, we can, in the short term, take a look, okay, does that meet the city code? Are there any issues from a water management standpoint at the county level? Okay. You know, is the county okay with installing just a culvert? So that's short term. Okay, does that meet the requirements of the codes of the city? And then I think what we'll do is take a step back and say, okay, long term, how are we going to fit the pieces of the rest of the puzzle? Not changing what you propose. Because what you propose meets the code and standards.
Yeah.
We want to try to build off of that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a two-phase process. But in order for us to do the grand plan, we're going to want to know what you have in mind.
Right.
So yeah, Brian, I think you should keep going with your, as soon as you get that from Jeremy, get your building, what you want, and you just have to keep going with Justin.
So kind of the things I got right now is business area setbacks, post frame versus steel frame, looking at culvert versus curb and gutter, you know, with the street. And then the other thing maybe is looking at ordinance for gravel versus hard surface driveway. I have to look at that too to see if anything's defined in there on that issue too. So I will look into all them things and then right away tomorrow and get that off to you.
You got anything else?
Yeah, and then if it is required to be in black box, then is there a time limit?
I think it's usually within a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty typical.
Yeah, that's pretty, yeah. Right, right. And it's typically why you get a year, so you can get a freestyle cycle in there.
That's how I see most of these.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
All right. Super.
Nice.
I'll be in touch.
All right.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay. Where am I at here?
Estimated costs
okay.
For future.
So we kind of framed up the idea of what's short-term or long-term, and as promised, I brought a proposal outlining what we can provide to the city for a long-term plan, and I did bring with a sample. Jeremy, did you send that out for the...
I did not.
Okay. I got it to you later, because I didn't know what my email was. This is something that we did for the city of Gaylord about 5 years ago. And you can maybe I'll hold it up for everyone to see. But what we did is we took a look. This is property on the fringe of the city of Gaylord, very similar to Hamburg, where we're looking just outside the city limits. And you can see we developed some street layouts and kind of some conceptual lots. And I'm going to go a little bit further into the report here. We zoomed in a little bit too here and showed some lot sizes, and then we also showed some potential locations for stormwater ponds. And quite frankly, we governed that from most point was what's the low spot in the land for the water to run to. So we identified some lot sizes. Now these weren't plats, these are just limited drawings. And when the development actually comes in, what we told the city is, you know, maybe lot one is instead of 17 acres, maybe lot one is 25, you know, depending on the developer wants. But this was kind of a jump-off point for them to kind of see what might work. Now, we did go through a couple renditions. We had laid out a couple options, and then we met with some staff and council members and made some adjustments. The other thing that we did as part of this report is we took a look at sewer and water extension and storm sewer extension. You know, one of the concerns I have about as we go further west here, it really drops off. It's all downhill, no pun intended. But how far are we going to be able to extend sewer before we even install a pump station? And again, that might be something good for a future developer that wants to come in and build. We can tell them, look, if you build right next to Brian's lot, you're having sewer is okay. If you go any further, you're going to have to help the city cost share on pump station.
And that's good to know.
It's good to know, right? So what we did for the city of Gaylord is we took a step further than just looking at lot layouts. We took a look at some of the infrastructure, some of the water mains and the street layouts. We put together a narrative describing describing that, and we put together some ballpark estimates. Now, this by no means is the final design. We're still up at about the 25,000 foot level looking down. We didn't get into all the details, but generally we kind of laid things out. And then put together some budget numbers. Now, this property, in this Mueller instance, was not owned by the city. So what we did is before we even got started on it, we met with the landowners and just let them know what we're doing. Not that they felt threatened in any way. We wanted to let them know, look, you're obviously the land right adjacent to the city. The city's just doing some planning. We don't have any intention of buying land. Just to put them at ease so they're not hearing something in the rumor mill that, oh, the city's planning a development on my property and they didn't even buy it.
Yeah.
So that's an important step if the city chooses to move forward with this. And Jeremy, I would work with you to set up that landowner meeting and maybe mm-hmm. a telephone call saying, look, we're going to do planning. We can give you a copy of the document.
Yeah. That'd be good.
So that's the reason why I took that one off the shelf and bought it as a sample, because I thought it was a similar situation where the city didn't own the land. They're just doing some preliminary planning, try to get an idea of what it might look like. And they were really doing that in anticipation of a developer that might come to the city and say, hi, I'm, company XYZ. I'd like to do an industrial park. What do you have to offer? Jeremy could pull this study off the shelf and say, well, here's some thoughts that we had. We can extend the road off of County Road 50. These are some lot sizes. So that's kind of the intention.
And also we can kind of include our city and planner in it too, so they, they're in the loop in this whole process.
Right. It provides a starting point. It's a planning document. Plans change, but at least it provides a starting point of saying what's possible. And again, how is this going to fit in with Brian's development? It's kind of a chicken before the egg. Dealing with in this particular piece, because we have someone that actively wants to develop a piece of property. So I said that in earnest, we will have to work together to make sure that we're working around him and to make that happen.
Well, and I think that was the initial conversation when Jeremy talked about that one day, was, let's develop that. Let's develop it in a way that allows us to develop around the properties as well for future expansion. Because I have a feeling that once people start seeing that property getting developed, we might get more inquiries if we don't have something like this in place, where at least we have a general concept of what we're going to do and what the potential costs are.
We don't want to miss out on those potential future opportunities.
Yeah.
So
this type of planning takes some time. It's an iterative process. We'll come up with some things, we'll meet with the city, there'll be some discussion. And typically when you have development, they want to, it's not an economy. Ryan wants to move. He wants to get going. So oftentimes, the developer can't wait to go through the planning process. Right. So that's what it's good to do with everything. One thing I didn't point out in my proposal letter is that we'd be primarily looking at not all of this parcel, but kind of the south half.
Yeah.
Once we get beyond that, we're really outside the reach of what's.
Did you go on the other side of the road? Because his property extends to the other side of the road.
I would focus, the proposal that we have is focusing on just this area. Okay. So north of the road, east of the ditch, and then south of about, Sophia or Mary Ann.
Yeah. I think I would agree with you. I mean, if all of a sudden we have big interest, we're going to have to look at doing another phase two or whatever.
The other thing is just, I haven't gone into this too far, but just my hunch is that once we get out up in this area, we're going to be at the end of our sewer water lines as far as what can the city service without making significant upgrades to some of your infrastructure.
Okay.
So that would be the focus area, is this about 30 acres, this area right here. So I did put together a proposal for that. We outlined tasks and hours in that proposal, so we kind of see what we need to take a look at. We set up a drawing with the boundaries based on the county data. We reviewed some of the air photos, develop some preliminary lot layouts based on city input, so we'd want to get some input from you. Determine extent of sewer and water services based on those elevations. And then I think we'd want to review this with Carver County. It would be a good step, but in time for that, to let them know what the city has in mind. The other thing that we do as part of this is we would take a look at turn lane options. And again, based on Carver County input. So I did budget some time for one of our traffic transportation experts, like Fula, to look at where would turn lanes be required, where would they be opportune moments to install them, and again, it might be a phased approach. We maybe want to install a turn lane for what Brian's proposing, but maybe, you know, the next developer, you know, the
like the main entrance,
whatever it is, there would be some opportunity there. We review the drainage boundaries, and then again, like we did in the Gaylord sample, look at just what are some preliminary locations for storm ponds. So Brian's may not require a storm pond, but when we get to that point,
next one will.
Yeah.
I did budget time in here for a 60% review meeting with city staff. So we take this so far, and then I want to come through their council meeting or workshop and say, okay, this is kind of where we're at. We haven't finalized it yet. What do you think? What are your thoughts? Then we would go back, update it with any review comments that you have, and then put together the report. And they're describing the improvements. And then we put together some ballpark process. So they're maybe not as detailed as what you have in front of you tonight, but they give you an idea of are we talking about $100,000 in infrastructure or $10 million in infrastructure. And then we would present the report at home. So the estimated fee, we've identified a not-to-exceed cost of $42,900 for putting together the report. And the timeline is probably going to take at least a couple of months to move through this process, and maybe longer. I mean, part of it will depend on we want to work with Brian to keep him going, obviously, but these things take time to put together. Like I said earlier, it's not something
right. That's understandable.
And we do want input from the city, so that in and of itself takes some iteration.
So if I may kind of tie this all in together while you're here. You know, we're looking at, you know, we talked about last meeting about $30,000 in savings on the street project.
We're going to be about $30,000 under budget on the street project.
So my suggestion would be that 30 grand can allocate some of that money to get this going. I don't know what council's thoughts are, but I really think this is something we need to do. Especially if Ryan's going to be in there, we need to have something laid out in case that opportunity comes. We don't want to miss out on business. We don't want to lose any business, and we don't want to miss out on it, on any opportunities.
I mean, just like when we did the street assessment for us, what, 3-4 years ago now?
Yeah.
I mean, that's been extremely helpful, you know, because now we know what we can expect for future, which streets are, you know, we gotta get done now, which streets, we can do this, we can do that, barring any fiascos.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if we don't get going now, then I'm not saying we're necessarily gonna risk losing a business income, yet that could happen, but I think the bigger thing is that we're gonna lose the prospects of putting the ball in motion for future expansion. Like I said, I have a sneaking suspicion. I mean, the way the houses have been selling here in town, I mean, they don't stay in the market for very long. And if the median price of house continues to go up, that means there's new people coming into town building, like, because I don't see a lot of old names buying these houses in town. I see a lot of new people buying these houses in town. You know, if someone gets an idea of some type of business that they want to put out that way.
Start a business.
Now other businesses are out there. And we don't have any place. We could lose out an opportunity if we go to Norwood, we go to Green Isle.
Well, in other words, for us to keep going on that, we're going to not to exceed $14,900. We're going to need some kind of motion on that to keep him going and get Brian going out there.
Well, I make a motion that we give SCH the green light to start the National Park Levy report.
So second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Good.
Motion passed to have SCH continue on with our additional here of not to exceed 14.9. Good.
Thank you. Look forward to
it. Keep going on that project and hopefully get burned satisfied.
Just talking about the next thing on the agenda, the 2015 Street Improvement Project. Change order number 4 was for the driveway apron. I did take a look at that. I thought it was very good.
Yes.
It looks nice and it's going to serve a purpose. So we're on track there.
Yeah, cool.
I expect to bring back the final application for payment for the contractor at your October 11th council meeting, because that was really the last time that we need done the project. So we'll finalize that job out. And as Gary mentioned, we're about $30,000 in the budget, which is great news. We had some changes along the way. We did some more work in the park. We had some payment issues that we reviewed on Sophia there. In the end, it turned out to be a great project. We were able to keep things on budget, and part of that is just having someone on site answering questions for the contractor. And that brings me to the next line item here. That's our request for RSP, and I did include a letter outlining that in the proposal. It's always a tough thing to ask for an additional fee, and contractually, when budget allows us, we try to fit extra services in when we can, but we just got to a point on this project with some of the changes and unforeseen conditions where we're respectfully requesting an additional $1,800 in fee for our services.
And if council's wondering or concerned why the extra fees, well, I think a lot of it too was engineer meeting with the contractors and looking at way of saving costs on this project too. So
we did. I mean, we.